listening to Rising Above with Becky Davidson.
When I make that choice to just plow through, because it's easier, God has really convicted my heart. Like, that's on me, because there are people that if I would stop and invite in and invite them into our story, there are people that would do that and do it with joy, and they might not do it perfectly, but that is where it starts.
Welcome to Rising Above with Becky Davidson, where we hear from special needs families who rise above difficult circumstances and discover that joy can be found in every story. Thank you for joining us. Here's your host, Becky Davidson.
Hey, friends. Thanks so much for joining us this week as we are continuing in our series here at the podcast called The Unexpected. And you know, when our children receive their diagnosis, we often have people who either get right in there with us and they're our biggest cheerleaders and supporters, but sometimes we have people who don't know what to do and they may even choose to walk away. So this week I'm joined by one of our Rising Above community group leaders, Brittany Blackburn, and she and I recently had a conversation about the realities of the unexpected reactions we often receive from family members or friends when our child receives a diagnosis. And so often people just don't know what to do, and they inadvertently end up hurting us by their words or by their actions. And sometimes people choose not to walk this journey with us. And so what do we do? How do we navigate the messy and sometimes challenging situations that can arise as we're navigating this disability journey? Brittany and I had a great conversation about some of our experiences and how we processed through the unexpected reactions that our families have experienced. Hey, Brittany, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm telling you, it's been a little nutty at my house here the last couple of weeks. I think you've had some craziness too with sick kiddos, and we have here at our house, and it's taken quite a feat for us to both get here at the same time.
So yes.
I'm thankful. We're glad that you are here and to have this conversation, because I think this is something that so many parents deal with, and it's so hard when we're trying to navigate relationships and family relationships and friendships, and just when people quite don't know how to respond to our families, and there could be hurt and there can be things that happen. And so we're just going to have a conversation about that and share some of the things that we've learned along the way. And, you know, you've been on the show before, but share just a quick update about your family and tell us a little bit about your girls.
Yeah, we're doing well despite some recent sickness, as you mentioned, but we're doing great. Clara, my kiddo with special needs, she'll be 12 in a couple weeks, and she's doing great. She's working, you know, on all the things. We're still potty training like we have been for years, but she's doing all right. You know, she's doing all right. And she's working really hard on communication with her speech device. She's doing some conversation, yes, no questions, trying to get some, you know, back and forth interaction from her with just conversational skills, which has been really fun to see. Just kind of expanding her communication there. And then my younger one, she's 10. Camille's doing great. Just school and her ice skating. So we stay busy, but we're doing pretty well.
You are busy, busy, and have lots going on in your world. And you also lead a community group for us here at Rising Above. So I know that keeps you busy as well. And so we're so grateful for you and your willingness to do that. And, you know, so your daughter, she has what's called Cohen syndrome. Am I correct? Is that correct?
Yes.
And so how does that impact her? Yeah, don't call me ma'am. Did you call me ma'am? No calling me ma'am. I know I'm older than you. it's your Southern graciousness, right? Calling me ma'am.
Yes.
We are recording on my birthday, which is funny, and I am older, but we won't go with ma'am.
Oh, well, happy birthday to you. It's an exciting day.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Tell us about Cohen syndrome.
So Cohen syndrome is a rare genetic syndrome. There's approximately 1,000 cases in the world.
Did you say 1,000? You said 1,000 cases. Wow.
So So it's rare, but you know, it's not like she's one of three. So we do have a nice big network of families that we've been able to connect with online, which is great. But basically it affects her global developmental delay. So she's delayed across the board. So she's almost 12, but she operates much more like an infant toddler. There's not much she can do for herself, so to speak. So, you know, I'm getting her dressed, I'm brushing her teeth, I'm helping her, you know, pull pants up and down in the restroom, washing hands, eating, like all of those just daily living tasks she needs assistance with. There's also some vision issues. She's completely nonverbal. So she's never spoken with words, but like I mentioned, she's learning to communicate through an AAC device on an iPad, which is really cool. And, but she's, you know, all that said, she's a joy. She's a light. She's just my little cuddle bug, and she's always, she's just joyful. And it's really another characteristic of Cohen syndrome is a cheerful disposition. And so I like to share that with people because, you know, all the other quote unquote negatives, you know, I have this child that's just joy and happy. And no matter what happens throughout the day, she wakes up, you know, she can go to bed after a hard day and wake up the next day and she's just happy and she's cheerful and just an example to all of us of how we should live. Right. So,
yeah. Yes. Don't you love that? I love the same thing about John Alex. Just can be having, you know, just lots going on and yet he is happy and joyful. And I just love that about our kids. And so, you know, when you think back to when you first got that diagnosis and you and your husband are dealing with just all the emotions and all the things that go along with that. But how did your extended family and friends react when you started to discover her unique needs?
Yeah. So we discovered pretty early on with Clara, that something was different. You know, as an infant, we just noticed pretty early on, it was 4 to 6 months that she just was not developing typically. But honestly, I would say through that whole journey, we got her diagnosis at 18 months. So during that whole time, and then even after her diagnosis, people honestly in our community, family, friends, everyone was very, very, very supportive and walked with us, prayed with us, you know, stood by our side. And so I'm very thankful that my initial, you know, our experience walking into diagnosis, we felt very loved and very supported. And I know that's not the case for everyone. There's definitely, I have talked with handfuls of other moms that is not the case, that, you know, people didn't know how to react, didn't know how to respond. And so they pulled away or they just kind of went silent. So I know our experience is not always the case. So I am thankful for that.
Yeah, that's so good. And, you know, so did you have anybody who like steered away or just kind of started to distance themselves? I think that a lot of times happens in friendships more than in family relationships.
Right.
You know, because people don't quite know what to do. I know in our case, you know, it was that John Alex wasn't able to do the things that other kids were doing. And so that hurt us. And so we wouldn't want to be around people because it was painful for us. And then people would stop inviting us. And it was just this cycle of trying to navigate all of these different relationships. And so what was your experience?
Yes, definitely have felt what you're describing. I would say, you know, people distancing themselves definitely came a bit later, you know, in Clara's development. So I'm sure like John Alex and a lot of others can relate to this, but as Clara continued, you know, when she was really little, it was much easier to have her included in a lot of those typical things, you know, whether that be in Sunday school or birthday parties or all of that. But as she started to grow and the developmental gap between her age and her developmental level, and then, you know, the gap between her peers and her, like, it just started to widen, right? And eventually, and I'm trying to think back about maybe what age, but eventually, you know, the play date invites stopped, the birthday party invites stopped. So really, honestly, at this point, at 12 years old, when she is not at school, she is at home with us.
Right.
And that is full stop. Unless we're at church, you know, she has a class to go to at church, which we're very thankful for. But I just mean in terms of like socialization, right. Social invites or that type of thing, there is none. Now she'll go and spend time with, you know, grandparents here and there, but, in all the other ways there, she is either at school or she's at home. And so I'll be really honest this year. I never voiced, I guess, my frustration or anger with this, but it was just something that I did definitely let bitterness fester inside of me for a really long time. And, it used to make me really upset. Now, after, you know, some time, we've been at this a while, I've definitely softened and just really tried to give it to the Lord.
Well, and I think it's a process. And I think, we, you know, it's part of, you know, part of in this series we've talked about, in this unexpected series, we've talked about how, you know, the unexpected grief that comes along with it, with this journey. And I think that's one of the things that we experience. You know, that's part of the grief, is grieving those relationships that we were hopeful that our child would have. And so I think that's probably what you were working through,
right,
in that is the grief that goes along with that. And, you know, I think when we look at relationships, you know, there's often, there's different levels of response, you know, like our family members and our close friends respond one way. Those who are kind of acquaintances or, you know, we know who they are, they may respond in a different way. And then, you know, the community response, people when we're out and about, we're going to get different responses from people in the community. I know when I'm out with John Alex, so often he rocks. He's in his chair and he rocks. He makes noises. You know, people will stare. And I can either get really offended by that, or I can just go, I would turn around too if I heard someone, an adult, making those kinds of noises, you know?
Right.
And would hopefully smile and would hopefully, you know, give an encouraging look. But what have been some of your experiences when you've been out in the community with Clara?
Yeah, I think, and across the board, I think people are usually very kind. But those stares, like you're talking about, or those looks, or, you know, we definitely do get those for sure. You know, Clara, you know, she'll kind of like, all that, she'll clap her hands or she'll rock a little bit, or, you know, she has her little fidget toys that she likes to hold them up in the air kind of towards the light and just fiddle them and stare kind of off, you know, like she's staring off into space. So we'll get some looks or, you know, those meltdowns. There's been times where, you know, I tried to take her somewhere with Camille and it just was one of those days and she did not want to go, or she did not want to get out of the car or whatever it is, and definitely has those meltdowns and get those looks for sure. But like you said, I really do. There's times where I can get offended for sure. But like you said, I do try to just remind myself, you know, everybody's human. If I heard somebody making noise, I might look, but like you said, try to smile and, you know, be kind. But
yeah, I think that's the word. Just be kind, you know, just be kind.
Are you a mom or female caregiver raising an individual with special needs? We'd love to invite you to our yearly event created just for you called By the Brook. In 2024, you can join us live in Cookeville, Tennessee, or from wherever you are around the world, for a weekend of encouragement, respite, and time together with other moms who get it. Join us on June 21st through 22nd, 2024.
Yeah, I think that's the word. Just be kind, you know, just be kind when you see the differences. You know, I know in my experience with John Alex, so often it comes from kids, other kids who are curious, who, you know, stare, who say things. I thought this morning as I was preparing for this, I remembered back to when we were walking down the hall at church one Sunday, and there was a little girl about 4 years old at the time, and she is behind the baby gate in her classroom, and she sees us coming down the hallway, and she looks at me and she goes, "What's wrong with him?" Well, I wanted to go. There's nothing wrong with, you know, with him and get, yes. but she's a little 4-year-old girl, you know, but what come to find out, her mom told me a couple of weeks later after that, she said, yeah, Katie has been really interested in John Alex and she's praying for him. And she just wanted to know more about him. And I thought, oh my goodness, this sweet little girl, you know, who's now, I think, a senior in high school, which is crazy, but, you know, was praying for him. And, you know, I just love that. And so, you know, oftentimes it comes from kids. How do you typically respond when maybe it's a child who is, you're not getting a reaction, you know, that you, or something that makes you maybe is a little uncomfortable? Yeah.
Yes. So I actually really love when children will, you know, when they're staring or that when they'll just ask those blunt questions, I really actually really appreciate it. So I think most of the time for little kids, it really does come from a sincere place, you know, especially those younger kiddos, where they're just, I don't think they typically mean any harm. It opens up the door, for me to reply and just share joyfully about Clara. You know, cause I've had that in the grocery store, you know, near the checkout. I've definitely had those. What is she doing? You know, or why doesn't she talk, you know, or why is she not answering you? You know, those types of things. And so, and it's just, for me, I just think it's really cool to be able in real time to explain, oh, well, you know, God made her different. She has special needs and she actually doesn't talk, but she talks with this device and it's really cool. Or, you know, where I can just share a little bit and just kind of open up their world in an age appropriate way. And so maybe that's, you know, not everybody's story, but I actually enjoy when kids just ask those blunt questions. And even Camille's friends, Camille, my typical daughter, she's 10. You know, her friends will come over and a lot of them now at this point have been exposed to Clara and they're here in and out a lot, but they'll still ask me, you know, questions. And it's just a neat opportunity to, you know, share how God makes us all unique, all you different, all different. And here's some cool things about Clara. And yeah, she can't do X, Y, and Z like you and Camille can do, but, you know, here's some cool things that she's learning and some things that she can do. And look how God made her amazing brain, just like he made yours. And, you know, and so I really enjoy when kids speak up, ask those questions.
Yeah. And most of the time, like you said, it's out of just a curious heart. And how we respond to that is going to speak volumes of how they respond.
Right. You know, and that's
to our children.
Exactly. That's what I try to think about when it comes, especially from kiddos and even adults, but just, you know, I'm setting the stage for how they might in turn react the next time they see someone with special needs. You know, we don't know how we're setting the stage long term for these little kiddos as they're going throughout their world.
Well, I'm sure you are like me in that there are certain things that probably come up over and over again that maybe people respond in a way that you're like, would you please stop? You know, like, would you please not do that with my child? And I'll just tell you, for me, it is, you know, John Alex is 26 years old. And when people talk to him like he's a baby, drives me batty. I'm like, he's 26 years old. Talk to him like a 26 year old and don't use baby talk. So often it's like this high pitched voice and, you know, and I'm like, no, please do not do that. And so that has, you know, and you have to then go, how am I going to respond to that? Especially if it's a family member where you know, you don't want to cause a rift in that relationship and but you also want them to see, no, that's not respectful for my son. So do you have any things like that in your story and how have you navigated that?
Yeah. So, I definitely understand, you know, Clara's only 12, but there is that occasional baby talk too. And that kind of drives me crazy. So I understand that for sure. I would say one is a big one for me that feels disrespectful and hurtful, I guess, for our whole family, but especially for Clara, is when, you know, we're all together in a group and people come up to us, whether, you know, regardless of where we are, and they will address, look everybody in the eye and address each person in my family except for Clara. Right? Like, hey, how are you? How's it going, Camille? How's this? And they'll talk to each of us. And then they might ask me about Clara. Like, how's she doing? But they don't like give her the respect of looking her in the eye and saying, hey, Clara, it's so good to see you. How are you? Right? She's not going to respond. Yeah. She's not going to say anything, but she deserves that same respect, right? That eye contact, that. And so I don't know where that comes from. If people just assume she's not going to understand, or, oh, well, she doesn't talk, so there's no point in, you know, asking her a question. So that's something, how I tackle that. Gosh, you know, it still makes me quite frustrated, but I do try to just model the behavior that I hope to see from people. Right. So if she is not respected in that way, not addressed in a conversation, I'll just say, you know, hey, Clara, you know, Clara loves when people ask her questions or say hello. She's working on her responses on her iPad. Would you mind saying hello to her and give her a chance to respond, you know, or something like that? Like, just very low key, very, you know, chill, but just something to model, like, oh yeah, like you can ask her too. It's okay. Like,
Right. Yeah.
So just kind of giving people that, again, modeling the behavior I hope to see, in a non, you know, in a way that's, you know, not threatening or
not rude.
Yeah, yes,
like not being rude back at him. Yeah. Well, it's so easy because, you know, so often we're just tired and it's like, ah, just see our kids for how amazing and awesome they are. And, but yes, oftentimes we do have to model. And I think that's just setting the tone, setting the example for how people can respond to our kids. And, but you know, what I see a lot of times, you know, we get hurt, something happens and we get hurt. And, you know, a lot of times we respond in kind of a negative or hurtful way. Sometimes if we're have lots going on, we might accidentally lash out and, you know, or a lot of times we retreat. And so I love in my late husband's book, there's a whole section about, the chapter is actually called Surviving Civilian Assault, which is just about how to survive when people, you know, people who are outside the disability space respond in maybe not a not kind way, but just in a way that is hurtful or that causes us pain. And I love it. It says here on page 155, we often feel incredibly vulnerable, so vulnerable that it seems easier to retreat into our shell and keep outsiders away. We can also be hypersensitive to things people say. It won't help our cause if we're going off on everybody who looks at our child in a funny way. We must strike a healthy balance between protecting ourselves and being open to people and being willing to let people into our lives. And so how have you gone about doing that? How have you gone about striking that healthy balance between what, you know, being protective of our children and guarding our families, but then also allowing people in?
Right. This is a tough one, And I think it's especially hard these days. You know, I've noticed throughout the years, the pendulum has kind of swung from one side to the other in terms of, you know, giving everybody grace versus, you know, cutting everybody out the second they do us wrong. You know, I don't know, a lot of the therapeutic trendy lingo these days, you'll see a lot of, you know, words thrown around, narcissism, toxic, all these things. And, you know, for me, it's trying to think through and pray through, like, who is actually toxic? Who is actually doing me real harm versus who is just a flawed, uninformed human, right? Like, whose heart is probably in the right place, even if they're making silly mistakes, you know, versus who is really out doing me harm, and just trying to think through that. Now, even with those people who are just flawed humans, that doesn't mean we don't have appropriate boundaries, right? But striking that difference between really protecting ourselves and cutting someone, cutting off someone's access to us versus, you know, being open and letting them in. So again, that looks different. Boundaries, you know, can be different for different things, but just really trying to, like I said, think and pray through like, okay, where is their actual heart in this? And because at the end of the day, I'm a flawed, messed up human too. And I do stupid things.
Right.
So, anyway.
Don't we all? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's so true. It's so true. And I think realizing most of the time, people's heart for us, it's really good. People's hearts towards us are good. That people are not meaning to offend. They just don't know what to do. And, you know, I have found it even in myself when I've had friends who are people who I know in my circle who've maybe have gotten a diagnosis of cancer or, you know, have gotten as an adult. You know, how do I navigate that with them to be sensitive to them, to know? And I think we all, if we're honest with ourselves, we can all look at different situations where we too are placed in that position of how do we respond? And, you know, I think we as special needs parents, if we can respond to people who maybe are just not sure how to respond to us, but if we can know in advance how we're going to respond, instead of reacting, we can kind of go in knowing, then we can retain control of ourselves in that conversation. And when we can respond in kindness, even when things don't go the way we want, we have a chance to make that positive impact. And, you know, I've said on this podcast so many times that we are going to set the tone for how people respond to our children.
Exactly.
If someone says something to us and we just lash back out immediately, that's not going to, in the long run, serve us well. So have you seen that to be true, that you have set the tone for how people are going to respond to Clara?
Yes, 100%. And Brandon and I are really, really big on this, actually. We've definitely seen this play out. Our big thing is, yes, like our life is very hard and there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, right, with the special needs life. But our life is not all sadness and despair. You know what I mean? Like, like our life is really good and really fun and really, I mean, there's so much joy in this house. And so our big thing is, you know, setting the tone for other people. Our family motto is kind of like find the joy and follow the fun. And so, how can we do that within the four of us, our family, but then how can we show that to others? So we try to purposely like show our family's joy, which I hope helps others see like, yes, there's hard things, but like our family is not like, we are not victims to this like awful, unfortunate life event. Like we are, you know, like there's so much good. And I hope by said the example that we set that, you know, my goal that I think through like is that someday someone might get a diagnosis of Cohen syndrome and they're not fearful, like that they can think back on our family or Clara and the joy that she brings. And that, you know, not that there's not some, sadness or whatever, but like that their response would be one of joy. Like, wow, like I'm so lucky, because I've seen the other side. And I don't know if that's making sense, but that's just something we try to do. The message we try to put out to the world is, of course, talk about all the hard things, but there's so much good too. And,
yes.
And, you know, I really do believe our family believes that perspective is a choice. And so we try to model that for others as well. That, you know, we all go through life walking through really hard things, getting handed things that we maybe would not have chosen from the get-go, but we can choose our perspective. And I have heard from people that they've said, you know, how y'all choose to do that with Clara, that has really helped me, you know, I'm not a special needs parent, but it has helped me go through this other thing, reminding myself that I can choose. I can choose my thoughts. I can choose my perspective. I can flip this situation, right? And so
absolutely,
that's what we what we try to do is just find the joy, follow the fun, and, you know, show it to the world.
I love that. Find the joy, follow the fun. Do you have that like written in your house somewhere, like to remind you, like, find the joy, follow the fun?
We don't, but I'm thinking we need to do that.
I think that's pretty awesome. Yeah. And it's so true. But I think, you know, what we put out there is what people are going to see. Like you said, like, there are things in our life that are so hard, but if that's all we're showing other people, then right. That's all they're going to think our life is like. But there is joy. There is joy in this journey.
Right.
And we want to share that as well. And so, like you said, the perspective, it's so important, so important. And so, you know, in the my late husband's book, Common Man at Extraordinary Call, we kind of break down some things that we can do to remind ourselves, some things we can do when we're dealing with those hurtful relationships and those things. That, you know, if we have a family member who just doesn't get it, you know, we're told to pray for our enemies, to pray, and not that our family members are our enemies. Let right. me clarify oh, that. Sure. But, you know, those people, yeah, but those people who are hurting us. And so, because I love, you know, God can get into the secret places of people's hearts where our words can't, you know, so if someone is doing something over and over again, when we pray for that person, God, then we release that to God, then he's able to work things out in ways way better than right. what we could do. Have you seen that to be true for you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And especially just, you know, the freedom that comes when we actually do that, you know, versus holding it all in and letting that bitterness and, you know, take root, but just like you yeah. said, releasing it to God, really is so freeing for our own heart and souls and, you know, just letting yeah. him take it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think also just remembering we're all broken. We all are broken and we hurt people, as the saying goes. And so I want to be forgiven when I offend someone. And so I need to forgive other people when they forgive me. Now, again, if something is continuing on, you do have to set boundaries. We're not saying that, but having that heart of forgiveness, it's more so for us when I remember how much I've been forgiven, yep. then I can let people off,
right.
off my hook and let God deal with their heart.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that I think, you know, on that is, you know, remembering that we want other people to give us grace on our worst days, right? Like we want mm-hmm. to be judged. I want to be judged by my intentions, not my actual actions, right?
Right,
but on the flip side, I tend to judge people based on their actions and not their intentions. So just that idea of I need just as much grace, just as much forgiveness in all the areas of my life, just as these other people do that, you know, or quote unquote mm-hmm. hurting me or whatever. And just remembering this kind of takes me off my pedestal and kind of opens myself up to just, yes, I am broken too. I need just mm-hmm. as much grace and helps more easily extend that forgiveness to others.
And I think so oftentimes, I know this is the case for me sometimes, it's like, it's hard to let people into our story and to let them see what our day-to-day life is really like. And, you know, there's a story in the book from some friends who shared part of their journey. And they talked about how they had been in the hospital, in and out of the hospital. And the family was not responding, were not there for them like they had hoped, but they realized they had not invited them into the story. They had not invited them into their life. And so they had a family dinner and they sat everybody down and they said, okay, we're going to talk about the elephant in the room. And they just started opening up about what their son's diagnosis actually was, explained what their day-to-day was like, explained what was going on in their heart. And they invited their family and friends into their story. And I love what they say here. They say, we hadn't let anybody in. We had been just surviving and we didn't include our family in our struggle. We weren't allowing people to love on us and be with us in it. And I think the reality is people really want to be with us. I've seen that here with this latest sickness with my son. My friends have been here like gangbusters. I mean, it's been amazing. But I had to let my barriers down and let my walls down in order to allow them into my mess, you know, into what it was like here for us. And so is that something that you have seen either in your story or with the moms that you love and serve in your community group, where a lot of times it's us setting those barriers in those relationships instead of allowing people in? Because, you know, we want to just protect ourselves. We want to cocoon ourselves, but then we miss out on the blessings of others. What has been your experience?
So at the end of the day, you know, when I make that choice to just plow through, because it's easier, you know, that's, God has really convicted my heart. Like, that's on me, because there are people that if I would stop and invite in and invite them into our story and invite them in and say, hey, you know, I have this thing, Claire, it would be really helpful if, you know, could you mind coming and just sitting with Clara for a couple of hours? You know, there are people that would probably do that and do it with joy, and mm-hmm. they might not do it perfectly. They might not know everything. But that is where it starts, right? Like,
right.
That's where it started for me when, you know, I had this 18-month-old baby that had the diagnosis. I didn't know what I was doing either. Right. And so, yes, I think just opening ourselves up and inviting people in and knowing it's not going to go perfectly. But most people, have a really good heart and they want to try, you know, yeah. and they want to be there and they want to support us and they just don't know how.
So any other suggestions for people who may be dealing with those unexpected reactions from family members? Anything else you would say?
One thing God's really worked on my heart with is just giving people the benefit of the doubt, whether that's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's somebody out in the community that you don't know. Just giving people the benefit of the doubt. You know, I feel like most people, again, there's those outliers, the people that are just downright mean and rude, but most people are just doing the best that they can. And now at the end of the day, like, do I know everybody's doing the best that they can? I don't know that for sure, but I do know that when I choose to believe that, I have more peace and joy and love in my heart. And then that spills over to my family and my community and all the things. So I don't know if that's helpful, but just choosing to not be as easily offended mm-hmm. and choose to give people the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. And another thing is just, if I can stop and remember when I am offended or when I do get those unexpected reactions, just to say a quick prayer of blessing over that person. And sometimes that's really hard.
Yeah.
But just say a quick prayer of blessing over that person and give it to God and just move on. And again, that is a way that keeps my heart pure, my heart clean, mm-hmm. And my heart healthy, so that I don't then continue on throughout my day in bitterness and anger and resentment. That is, and again, it spills over not just for myself, but it spills over to Clara, to Camille, it spills over to my husband, it spills over to people that I then, you know, run into throughout the day.
Right.
So just giving people the benefit of the doubt, believing they're doing the best that they can, and just saying a quick mm-hmm. prayer of blessing over that person, offering up some forgiveness mm-hmm. and giving it to God. And
yeah. letting him flip the script there on that, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And just remembering, you know, we have, just like people don't know what all we go through, like, we have no idea what everybody
Absolutely.
Else is going through throughout their day.
Exactly.
You know, we don't know that person that's staring and giving us that look, or person that's making the comment, or whatever it is. You know, we don't know what they just mm-hmm. Dealt with, what yeah. they're dealing with, whether, you know, whether that be their family or illness or just life, it's mm-hmm. hard. And so everybody has hard things. We're not the only,
right.
special needs families are not the only families going through really hard yeah. things. Our heart is very hard, but there's a lot of other heart out there. And so I think just remembering that,
yeah.
you know, just remembering that, hard is hard. We're not playing the pain Olympics around here. So just, remembering that, mm-hmm. helps me give a little more grace yeah. in the moment as well. Yeah.
And love covers it all. You know, if we can let God love us
yes.
so well, that then that love pours out to other people, then things go much better. So,
yes, absolutely.
Well, Brittany, thank you so much for your time. I always love chatting with you, and we're just grateful for you and in the way that you love and serve other families and the moms in your community group. So thank you for being here with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always a joy and a privilege just to chat with you. And I'm so thankful again. I always tell you, but just your commitment and the way you show up for Rising Above is just incredible. And you are, you know, like if you could just see, even in my Monday night group, if you could just see the ripple effects that this ministry is having on real women, real families, I could go on and probably start crying, but it's just such a beautiful gift that you're giving the world. So thank you for being you. Thank you for your commitment and your love that you pour into this ministry, because you are touching families and you're touching lives, and you are such a gift.
Oh, well, you are making me cry over here on this side of the screen. And anyway, thank you for those kind words. And it's an honor to get to do what I do. So thank you for being part of that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Rising Above with Becky Davidson, created and produced by Rising Above Ministries. To learn more about us and our resources for special needs families, visit risingaboveministries.org or download our free app. If you've enjoyed listening and want to hear more, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review. You can always share it to encourage a friend. And remember, joy can be found in every story.